Another point I just want to make is the term anti-androgen is a misnomer. And the reason is because we now know, based on preclinical data that's been developed over the last 7 or 8 years, that these drugs, the non-steroidal anti-androgens, are actually acting in two ways. And particularly in the castrate environment, they act as androgen receptor antagonists. They block the androgen-independent activation of the androgen receptor. There are a number of cytokines and other growth factors, IL-6 and 10, insulin-like growth factor, and so on, that activate the receptor in the absence of androgen. This is blocked by the anti-androgens. And while the anti-androgens all block the adrenal androgens to various degrees, in a fairly similar way, they have dramatically different effects in the degree to which they block androgen-independent activation. And this is just one blot that compares bicalutamide to flutamide, and this shows their interaction with nuclear co-activators and co-suppressors of the androgen receptor. And you can see that, for example, bicalutamide completely blocks SRC1, an androgen receptor co-activator, and dramatically upregulates the co-suppressor NCOR, much more so than flutamide. So these drugs are acting not only as antiandrogens, but interacting with co-activators and co-suppressors in a very favorable way. This data recently from the Sawyers group at UCSF consists of an analysis of high-throughput gene array of 12,000 genes in a series of cell lines that became more and more androgen-independent. And this is a wonderful article for those of you who have a particular interest in this area. And what they showed, this is from the article, is that of 12,000 genes, the only one that was consistently and dramatically upregulated as these cell lines became increasingly androgen-independent was the androgen receptor. And the hypothesis is that the primary mechanism for androgen-independent progression, more than mutation, is dramatic upregulation of the androgen receptor, which confers exquisite sensitivity to very small amounts of androgen and provides a more compelling theoretical basis for the use of antiandrogens. Along with this this study from Roswell Park that compared the intracellular androgen levels in castrate men to normal men with BPH. And very surprisingly, this has shown that men who are castrated with low serum levels of testosterone, castrate levels, actually either sequester or generate testosterone in their prostate cancer. This is hormone refractory prostate cancer, has the same level of testosterone as BPH cells in intact men. The other androgens are present at somewhat lower levels in the castrate men, but still at fairly substantial quantities. So if you put this together, the Sawyer's observation, exquisitely sensitive androgen receptors at markedly increased amounts, along with fairly high levels of androgens in the cells. The concept is that these cells are not actually androgen independent. They are responding to androgen that they are generating intracellularly, because they're so exquisitely sensitive to this. So again, preclinical support for the idea of more aggressive hormonal therapy.